And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And today we're going to talk to Mother Agnes Merriam, who has been working in humanitarian and mediation work in Syria for more than 20 years. Her organization is called Reconciliation, in a country that badly in need of that very service. Later in the show, we will talk to Zafar Bangash. He is with crescent-online.net. He's the editor. And everybody who listens to this show knows that Zafar Bangash is on top of his game. He knows exactly what's going on. We're going to actually, when we lined him up to be talking to us today, we were going to focus on Lebanon. But between the first phone call and today, there's been so many things going on, particularly in and around Syria, that we'll also talk to Zafar about Syria. And Phil Condon is here. How are you doing,
yes,
Phil?
Yes, hi, Phil.
We better tell everybody, Beth Sadoun is going to have Eve Engler
on Sunday evening the 20th.
The 20th, yes. And it's a Sunday, right. And 7 o'clock.
That's right.
At Beth Sadoun. And it's very. We had him on this show. He's got a terrific new book, and we hope everybody turns out. And then also a different book list.
Different book list is going to have a reception for the director of the film, Ninth Floor, which is about the events at Sir George Williams University, as it was then known, which is now called Concordia, in 1970, which was an event about racism that became very famous in the annals of Canadian
absolutely.
History.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very important, and it should be studied because of the forces involved, the questions that they addressed, and whether or not anything has happened in all the years since. Certainly, a number of the personalities involved in Sir George Williams went on to become very prominent in politics in Canada.
There was a senator, there was a prime minister in the Caribbean. Yes, it was a very, very interesting people, you know, and an interesting mix of people. You know.
The first name comes up is Rosie Douglas.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, there was the son of the Prime Minister of Guyana.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, it is it's very important. Ninth Floor, and it's going to different book list. What's the date?
You know what? I believe it's on the 12th, but you know what? Let me double check that.
Double check
and we'll come right back.
We will establish it for everybody. It is Monday the 7th, and I believe we are joined now by Mother Agnes Merriam. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello. Thank you very, very much. You're located in Syria. You've done humanitarian work for 20 years. Now, when I think of Syria, I think of your country as one that took in refugees from Palestine, from Lebanon, from Iraq, in the tens of thousands. And
yes.
Now you're a country under siege, and there are Syrian refugees. Can you tell us, how has this... We're reading headlines today about a Syrian refugee crisis, and you must know that the Europeans are debating how many Syrians they might be willing to take over a five-year term, but very few of them are addressing why we have a crisis. Could you explain to us what this is about?
Well, you know, it's like someone who is igniting a fire and then deploring that the fire is heating his neighborhood and saying, how much shall we be able to support? You know, the fire has been ignited in Syria by the intervention of so many countries against the international laws. And so the people have been displaced. We have in Syria 10 million of IDPs, people that have been put out of their homes because of the invasion of foreign fighters. Of course, they are helped with some Syrian from inside Syria. In the beginning, they thought that it was for freedom and democracy. But today, 90 to 95% of them are fighting for Islamism and very, very tight and soft Islamism.
Yes.
So in Syria, every day you have new IDPs. Every single day you have new IDPs because the fighting is happening into the residential areas. I was today in very near from the battlefield in Idlib province, and it has been invaded 2 months ago, and the battle continues because Jubhat al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda fighters, are always coming from Turkey and very well with a lot of arms and ammunition and very well financed. They are by thousands always trying to go more and more deeper into the countryside. So we met the new refugees from 2 days ago in the region of Jisr al-Shuur. And those people are minorities. Maybe you have never heard about them. They are murshidit. It's a kind of cult that is monotheistic, but also believing in reincarnation. In all cases, very, very nice people like Yazidis. And very, very simple. And they left everything, you know. They lost everything. By night, they had to just jump out of their houses, women and children and men, and they are now roofless into the nature. And we went to share with them some food parcels and know that they need at least 5,000 mattresses. If someone in Canada wants to help Syrian, let them help the Syrian inside Syria. And I say to Europe that today, you know, is debating how many thousands they will receive in so many years, that this will not help resolve the distress and the problems of millions of people. And I really ask Europe to reconsider in consciousness how much they have interfered to provoke this displacement and this refugee crisis. So it's better to go and to heal the wounds and to heal the problem in its roots and not in its, superficial place.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Mother Agnes Mariam. She is with the Reconciliation Organization, and she's worked on this matter for 20 years. I was impressed. I read an interview with you in 2014, and you said that the Syrians actually can solve these problems, the conflict amongst themselves, but that it is the foreign element that prevents it. As a matter of fact, it does not wish to see that happen. Is that right?
Of course. Now you can. The world has seen what is happening in Syria with the Islamic State, and you know that 85% of those terrorists come from abroad. They even come from Kazakhstan. They come from as far as China. They come and they are recruited by international bureaus with the approval of the big power, and they transit through international airports, and so they come to Syria, and you see how many crimes they perpetrate. So those people, you know, you have hundreds of thousands of terrorists inside Syria. And they prevent reconciliation. I had these 6 months two markers of reconciliation. My own secretary, the chief of my staff, he is an Arabic chief of tribe leader. And he was killed in his own village where he went to make reconciliation. They set a trap for him. And they killed him. And another one was a general who had defected from the Arab Syrian army. And then he saw that he was destroying his own country and helping the implementation of terrorism and fundamentalism. So he wanted to enter into reconciliation, and what happened, Jabhat al-Nusra killed him one month ago. Yeah. So we have martyrs of reconciliation. Syrian people, they don't want anymore to continue to destroy their beautiful country. You know, Palmyra has been destroyed. Bosra has been destroyed. You have, those are jewels of the World Heritage. They are destroyed by terrorists, by hordes, by, you know, factions that they don't even have anything human. Yeah. And if we leave the Syrian alone, yes, they can get into reconciliation. Today, even today, I had long talk with Syrian abroad. They are willing to open new canals of dialogue. And if the world would just, you know, ceasing to intervene in such a way, such a ambiguous way in Syria, inside Syria, and stopping the terrorists to enter into Syria, of course that we have a solution. Of course that we have hope. And in the places where Syrians are together, far from the foreign intervention, we live in peace and we live in security, and we hope that we will improve this present situation.
Yeah. Speaking to Mother Agnes Merriman, and on the, what do you react, or how do you react when you hear words out of people like presidential candidates in the United States and the president of France, and I see Al Jazeera editorialists saying they want to intervene, but they want to create humanitarian zones, or zones that they would control, and then they want no-fly zones. And then they do not wish to recognize the simple recognition, which you point out in your speeches and what, that the United Nations, everybody recognizes Syria is a country, it's sovereign, but they talk like it's just a place on a map.
Well, you know, this is what I call the false intervention and the anti-law, the lawless intervention. They don't have the right to intervene in such a way, because they are not the rulers of the world, and they cannot intervene in the matter of, as you say, a sovereign country. So all this is outlaw. It's out of the international laws, and it is sowing everywhere an atmosphere of terror, an atmosphere of insecurity. If this is happening in Syria, maybe tomorrow it will happen somewhere else. It will happen maybe in France. It will happen maybe in Canada. Why not? Why a powerful neighbor would not be, tempted to intervene in your own questions? Why not? They are intervening in the questions of Syria. They have intervened in the question of Libya. They have destroyed Libya. Libya today is no more a country. It's a failed state because of them. And Syria has been systematically destroyed. So this policy, you know, is a policy of death. It is a policy of chaos. It is a policy of terror. From one side, you know, they have good, they just claim good titles, titles of humanity and titles of freedom and title of democracy. But what they do is not the same of what they say. It contradicts what they say in everything. But the power of the media is so so great that people, you know, they believe. What is a no-fly zone? A no-fly zone is the security haven given to the terroristic factions, to the Islamic State. This is the no-fly zone. They are not trying, you know, to defend or to protect the civilians. I can tell you that today in Syria, the civilians that are living, and I told you that 90% of the IDPs in Syria live in the government held territory. They are every day shelled by those terrorists. Every day you have victims, children. They lose their arms, they lose their feet. I have seen them in the hospitals. Nobody talks about them. But when the Syrian army drop a barrel on a sniper or on people that are shelling the resident, the residential area in the frame of a war answer, you know, everybody says that it is inhuman. I am not for any violence, but let us call everything by its own name.
Again, we're speaking to Mother Agnes Mariam, and I want to ask you, you mentioned some months back that you were gratified that the Vatican had begun to speak a little more plainly and more, in a more helpful way. And by the way, you pointed out that they had, the spokesman for the Vatican had said that they need to isolate and remove foreigners from Syria. Can you talk about the Vatican at the moment and your take on how they're conducting this themselves?
You know, today the anti-terrorist war is everybody has adopted this title, but the reality is not the same for everybody. Of course, the Vatican is for an anti-terror war, and the Pope has said it. And you know, our Pope Francis is from Argentina. He is nearer to us than somebody else. And he has the courage from time to time to say something which is a little bit different of the politically correct. But what we need is more than words. And we hope that the Pope, who is acting in a very symbolical way in many places, will also act in a very symbolical very eloquent way to help resolve the Syrian situation, dilemma.
And there's been recent meetings towards the possibility of talk reconciliation. And what's interesting, people, states taking place, meeting. Russia met with Saudi Arabia leaders or spokesperson, and it was toward a possible resolution. Do you take any, you find that an encouraging development?
Of course, Russia meet, if a Russian, Russian response leader meet with a Russian, with a Saudi Arabia leader, it's good, because if they come to dialogue, the pressure will cease in the country, especially in Yemen or in Syria, because Saudi Arabia is financing terrorists. So we hope that dialogue will be the mean to cease violence and to open the door for a political solution where the lives of thousands of innocents can be saved. Of course that we are happy if they talk together. Yes.
Yes. And on the matter of just the status, can you make an assessment? I mean, given the kinds of assaults that have been made on Syria involving very wealthy and powerful states, and particularly your neighbor Turkey, which is a member of NATO, the Syrian army did not collapse. They were able and have been able to fight and resist this intervention. Do you have any kind of an assessment of how the war itself stands at the moment?
With Turkey?
In terms of relationship, and the Syrian army versus the terrorists and others who've come to the country.
Yes. You know, the Syrian army is not, as we say in French, armée de métier. They are conscripts. means any young man in Syria has 2 to 4 years of military service.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the people, it's the Syrian people who are fighting, and they are motivated. Sometimes they are not motivated, like those young men, they feel, for example, they are not very well trained because they just come from their universities. But normally, and the most of them are motivated. It's their home, it's their country, it's their cause. And like this, they are coherent. They work in harmony. And that's why they have, you know, more than 285 fronts. The Syrian army
mm-hmm.
is fighting in more than 285 points, different points all over the Syrian territory.
Mm-hmm.
And they are continuing to fight to defend themselves and to defend their people. You know, without the Syrian army, terror would have spread everywhere in Syria. Let us imagine, for example, the fall of Damascus, or the fall of Aleppo, or the fall of the coast. What could it be, you know?
Yeah.
Millions and millions into distress, and in such a, you know, such a terrible way, as you have seen it with ISIS, you know, burning and raping and beheading. This is the fate. This would be the fate of civilians. So we really are grateful to each soldier and to each fighter who come to enroll himself and give his life to protect civilians. That's what the Syrian army is doing. They are protecting civilians. I don't know if in the beginning I didn't have real proofs of what Al Jazeera or others were saying every day against the Syrian army. But what I can say today is that all the populations are, really asking those soldiers to come and protect them. And we do also ourselves. Or else you don't have any alternative. Either the Syrian army or the terrorists, like the Islamic State or Jabhat al-Nusra.
Yeah.
With all my respect to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, and again, we're speaking to Mother Agnes Mariam, and she is in Syria and with the Reconciliation Organization, worked there for at least 20 years trying to resolve issues. What would you say to those people reading the papers about refugees and all that? What would you like people in Canada, United States, Britain to do to help solve this crisis?
Okay. If they want to do something really efficient, let them ask their government to make pressure on Turkey and Jordan to stop letting terrorists infiltrate inside Syria. Because those people are fleeing Syria because of terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Second, let them help Syrian people inside Syria to remain in their country and to be as fruitful, as active as before.
Mm-hmm.
Let them help to rebuild Syria. Let them help everyone to have his home, a little home, and also his piece of land. He can work in it, and he can cultivate it, and he can eat from it. That's what I would ask, and I would ask the population, Canadian population, United States population, European population, to see this very clearly. It's obvious, and to claim and to ask the government to do like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mother Agnes Mary, we're very grateful for the time you gave us, and we hope that your work continues with the diligence and success you've had. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
I thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Mother Agnes Mariam, and she is with the leader of the Reconciliation Project. It's called Masalaha, and she's been at this for 20 years. She visited Canada about 2 years ago, was our guest on the program. And I hope that message gets out. She stated about as clearly as certainly every Canadian's got to be concerned. We have a prime minister who does not wish to recognize a sovereign government of Syria. And that means you will have perpetual trouble. That has to be solved. You can't, we can call it outrageous. I think it's also outlaw behavior to decide that there has to be regime change in a sovereign territory. That's not the affair of Canada. And it's only complicating it and adding to the present tragedy. And ultimately, by the way, will be a losing strategy. The people of Syria will assert themselves, and they will not be treated this way by other governments that claim to believe in the United Nations and international law. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us at CIUT, Taylor at CIUT.FM. We're, of course, on the web, taylor-report.com. There's a piece of music by Bob Marley. We think you might be appropriate at this time. When we come back, we're going to talk to Zafar Ben-Gesh.